Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Good evening. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with Life Support Outreach Church. And we're so excited tonight to be back on our radio broadcast this evening. I give God reverence, who is my life, and to everyone in their respective places. I give reverence to Apostle Deans in his absence and to all of you that's under the sound of my voice. I just thank and praise God on tonight for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast. I give God praise and glory. This is our Bible study tonight. We're going to be studying dreams and visions. But for right now, we're going to get ready to open up, call our worship to order. We're going to have a short devotion, a song, a scripture, and a prayer, and we're going to get right to our Bible class. So we're going to get ready for our devotion now. Amen. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to the mercies. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. I have just read you from Psalm 25, from the verse 1 to through 8. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come humbly before your throne of grace this evening, Lord, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, God, just asking you to forgive us, wash us in the blood of Jesus, cleanse us, search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything in there, God, that should not be, we ask you to remove it right now. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind. Father, we come now, first of all, asking you to bind up the strong man right now from our lives. We ask you to bind up the strong men right now from this radio broadcast. In the mighty name of Jesus, every witch, every wizard, every warlock, any demon that's on assignment, your assignment is canceled right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we come right now asking you tonight, God, to bless our Bible class on tonight in the name of Jesus. I ask you to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight, God. We just give you praise tonight. We worship you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we magnify your holy name tonight. We glorify you tonight, God. We give you praise, hallelujah. We give you glory tonight, God. We just thank you right now, God. We thank you for sending your anointing, God. We thank you for letting your power fall, God. We just give you glory right now. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory tonight, God. We know that you are a healer. You are a healer, Lord. You are a provider, God. And we give you glory on tonight. You healeth thee, God. You are the God that healeth us, Lord. And we give you praise, hallelujah. And we give you glory. Father, we just thank you tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, God, and for your glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. We thank you tonight, God. We give you praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're going to get ready to go now into our Bible class. We're going to be talking about dreams and visions on tonight. Dreams and visions, and we're gonna, you know, last week, I think it was Tuesday, we was teaching on, we started talking about colors and dreams. Yeah, we started talking about colors and dreams, and we had started talking about blue, and we finished with blue. So we're going to start now with a color combination because, you know, all that play a part in interpreting your dream, and or if you're helping somebody else interpret their dream, all of that counts. You know, every little detail counts, and the color, the background, everything counts when you're in a dream because the other night, maybe it was last night, I don't really know whether it was last night or not. But I think I was dreaming about some water, and it was clear water because I was in my basement, and I said, it's water on my feet. And then I just flipped over to another side, and I saw fire. So So I looked both of those up, and it's the fire, it's the Holy Spirit, and water is too. So I just thank and praise God for that. And then I read some more about it. But everything in your dream means something. I very seldom dream, so I should say that was a vision. So it's a meaning to everything, even the people. Even if it's a dog in your dream or a cat in your dream or a window or, you know, a door, or everything means something. So we're going to talk about color combinations right now, like black and blue, for instance. If someone takes a pounding, we may see, or a beating, we may say he was being black and blue. It's a good way to describe a severe beating, black and blue. We'll say, well, you know, they got in a fight and their eye was black and blue, you know. And that's a severe beating. It can certainly mean that in a dream, too. Black signifies pain and suffering, and blue signifies a sorrowful spirit. We're going to see more of these combinations as we go on talking about this, okay? Green, the color green, equals life. Although at this point we could go in several different directions, we will follow the order of creation. After God made the heavens and the earth, spoke light into existence and divided the waters, he covered the earth with greenery, with grass and trees. Genesis 1 and 11 says, and everything I'm saying comes straight out of the Bible. It's backed up with the Bible, I'll say that. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs yielding seeds, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. The first plant mentioned here is grass. The world is covered with grass on every continent, in every nation. Live grass is green, and the root meaning of green is life. One can tell whether grass is alive or not by simply noticing if it's green or not. When it turns brown, it's dead. We know that. Trees and most other plants are also green. Some plants stay green throughout the season. Other plants lose their leaves in the fall and wait for spring before being resurrected into new life. Herein lies a clue. Green can denote resurrected life. Green. Likewise, an evergreen tree may also mean eternal life because it never dies and stays green continuously. It appears to be everlasting. That is so awesome. That's so awesome. An evergreen tree never dies. I don't care what you do to it unless you cut it down. It never dies. I don't care if the seasons change or whatever. That evergreen never dies. In a negative sense, green can refer to the temporal state of a human flesh. Peter says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass wither, and the flower thereof falleth away. 1 Peter chapter 1, 24, verse 24, Jesus also used green to signify his flesh. When they were leading him to Golgotha's hill to crucify him, he said, for if they do not these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Luke chapter 23, verse 31. So green and grass have much in common. The characteristics of grass determine the symbolic meaning of both grass and green. The green color of grass indicates that it is alive. Green is life. It multiplied and covered the whole earth, even as Adam was commanded to do. And when some grasses and other similar evergreen plants defy the season and refuse to die, they imitate eternity and give us a unique symbol of everlasting life. Green is life. I just wanted to just make sure you understood that, because, like I said, colors in your dreams and visions. Now, I don't know if you know the difference between a dream and a vision. You know, a dream, you sleep. A vision, you're not sleep. So sometimes people say, well, girl, I was daydreaming. You wasn't daydreaming. You was in a vision. You was looking off in the space in a vision. And God talked to us in vision all the time and dreams. If you have a dream, the dream is for you. You can dream about somebody else, but it's a message to you. So you want to try to interpret your own dreams and visions, and God will help you if you ask him. He'll show you what to do and all of that. But it's a message to you. Okay, brown and tan, that's another multicolor. As mentioned, when grass dies, it turns brown. In the same way that green grass indicates life, in its different form, its color in death reveals the root meaning of brown. In essence, brown is the opposite of green, life and death. Death instead of life. When we live in the flesh, we are green. When we repent and die to sin, we turn brown. A repentant person is humble. Therefore, brown can denote humility or one who is lowly. Brown can also mean common, ordinary, or poor, like a person carrying a sack lunch in a brown paper bag. Tan is simply a lighter shade of brown, and it denotes a similar meaning. In fact, tan is the color of the desert sand and has the it's like barrenness. It's nothing there. Repentance is sometimes indicated by tan clothing or shoes. So the multicolors, you know, have more than one meaning. And brown denotes, well, brown is when, like the grass, when it dies, you know, it turns brown. But the other part of it is, the positive side of brown is it denotes humility, lowliness, brown, common, ordinary, poor. You know, so just keep that in mind. A lot of different colors. Sometimes you don't even notice your colors in the dream. I did with the fire this morning because it looked like I was standing on it, and I wasn't getting burnt. And I looked down and seen this orange, blue flame fire. That's why I noticed it. Okay, then you have Christmas colors. There's another color closely associated with green, and that's red. At first glance, there seems to be no connection between the two other than they are used together as decorations at Christmas time. However, the connection comes from the fact that red is conceived as a warm color and green often refers to the flesh. Red denotes passion. We know that a passion suitor buys red roses for his beloved. Red. That's passionate. Green corresponds to the flesh. Red and green can indicate passion, passionate flesh. So another common use for red is on a stop sign in red light. Green signifies go, while red means stop. But red can mean danger, as in the bull charging the matador tape above, something like that. And as if the bull connects, the matador's blood may run red, giving us one more metaphor for red, blood. Blood can mean so many things that we'll not even just talk about now. But the basic root meaning for green is life. So red danger signal can even include loss of life. Do we all get that? And even in Revelation, the red horse in Revelation chapter 6, verse 4, portrayed just that persecution. It was like persecution when the horse, red horse, you know, it's a pale horse. It was a white horse and a black horse and a red horse. It says, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So do we understand so far now? Is there any question? Color, about the color. Because we're going to be in color for a minute, but not that kind. Okay. Danger signals. Speaking of danger, watch out for the color orange now. That fire this morning that I dreamed about it yesterday, whenever it was orange. Danger may not be the primary meaning, but that in many dreams, danger is very common interpretation for orange. One of nature's primary warning colors is bright orange. South American has orange frogs, or some poisonous orange frogs. So that's like a warning. Orange and black butterflies are poisonous. Some of them. And who wouldn't run from a tiger? Of course not. All orange creatures are dangerous, but every symbol has its opposite. So a tiger is kind of orange, and I've never seen an orange butterfly, orange and black butterfly that's poisonous, and they have orange frogs. We don't have that. Scare anybody? I'm trying to make you see that it's more to one color. It's more, what would I call this? It's more things that can come out of one color. It's more meaning, more symbols that can come out of one color. When you're interpreting your dream, you have to interpret it for more than just the color. You know, because like I said, it was water, then it was fire. I mean, I can take that a few couple of ways, maybe two or three different ways. But I'm going to take both of them as the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost can be fire and the Holy Spirit can be water. So that's how I'm going to take it now. I didn't know what I was doing in my dream. I was downstairs. I remember the floor, and I remember water being on the floor. Then up under my feet came fire. So, you know, it don't take nothing for me to dance for the Holy Ghost. I don't know, you know, but I thank God for the dream. Now, the root word meaning for orange is energy or power. Energy or power. Power is inherited in many orange things that God created. The earth's primary source of energy is the sun, and it was made on the fourth day and is rather orange in color. Closer at hand, fire is a chief source of power, and it's usually orange. It can be dangerous too. Fire is often associated with spiritual powers. In Acts 1 and 8, Jesus told his disciples that they would receive power after the Holy Ghost came upon them. And in Acts 2 and 3 and 4, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, they did. Flames of fire were seen resting upon them when that happened, probably orange. And that's what I was saying. The flames was under my feet, and they were orange. And I just took the water as the Holy Spirit, and I took the fire as the Holy Spirit. One dream that particularly interested me was a dream where a woman and her family were attacked by fierce dragons, and she discovered that her only effective defense was oranges. Even pieces of oranges were sufficient to ward them off. So the interpretation, if golden delicious apples could stand for wise counsel, as in Proverbs 25 and 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Then couldn't a bag of oranges represent God's powerful promises, such as Psalms 91 and 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. See, that fire, anytime you dream or have a vision about fire, most of the time, it's the Holy Spirit, and we want the Holy Spirit to be there. We want the Holy Spirit to be there. You know, it's a message to you, whoever dreaming it. If that was a message to me, and because I want to pray more, you know, I've asked God to allow me to pray at least 5 to 6 hours a day because I want to pray more. He's probably giving me a message because, I get up. I'll be tired, but I still have to do what I got to do. And I'm just asking you all to pray to my strength in the Lord because I'll be so tired sometimes. But are there any questions? Everybody understand what I was saying? Amen. Okay. A dangerous combination. You may have noticed the color combination of the monarch butterflies and the tigers mentioned previously. Orange often spells trouble, but when combined with black, it's just plain bad news. Pay attention. It's nearly always a warning. On the other hand, it can spell bad news for the devil too. The Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost, has really given him a hard time. And when you fight against the devil, you have to call and plead the blood of Jesus against him. When you fight against the devil, you use Jesus' name or the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's how we fight the devil. We pray and we come against the, we bind the spirit of the strong man. We bind him up because God said whatever's bound on earth is already bound in heaven. Whatsoever loosed on earth is already loosed in heaven. So we have to bind up the strong man before we can come against any demon. Always remember that, because you will never hurt a demon if you don't bind the strong man first. Bind the strong man first. That's in the Bible. That's scripture. You could pray against him all day, but you better bind up the strong man and come against him. The blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus, I bind you up. The blood of Jesus is against you. And when you call on the name of Jesus, they don't even like to hear it. They don't want to be in the room. Believe me, not with the name of Jesus going. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going on to the gray area. Gray can mean confusion. You know, gray is really a color that is almost white. It's almost black, I guess, but it's that mix, I think. Like being in a gray fog or without clear guidance or boundary. It's not unusual to hear someone say that that's a gray area. I'm just not sure what to do there. Smoke is gray, too. And where there is smoke, there is fire. So gray smoke can warn you of trouble brewing or worse. Let you know what just happened. Genesis chapter 19, verse 28 says, and he, Abraham, took toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Just how gray is gray. The shade of gray depends on the amount of black and the amount of white mixed together. This is what I'm saying. Black and white make gray. More black than darker, the more black, the darker the gray, and vice versa. Because if you put black and you put a lot of black, you're going to get a dark gray. But if you kind of even it out, you're going to get a gray, just a regular gray. So we noticing whether something is simply a little off-white or a dark shade of gray can be informative when interpreting your dreams. Pure white, we all know what pure white means. As already discussed, the opposite of gray is clear-cut, distinct, without doubt or hesitation. It's either black or white. If it's white, it's pure, righteous, altogether, or pure evil. In the Old Testament, God taught Moses how to determine if leprosy was cured or not. In Leviticus chapter 13, verse 3, and he says, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in the sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. So if he has a hair in the plague, it is and it's turned white, and then the plague is sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is the plague of leprosy. So it had to have hair in it in order for it to be a plague. Some people have a way of getting under your skin. When you're offended by them, you suffer from spiritual leprosy. It's contagious and, strangely enough, contrary to many Christians, belief that white means right, righteousness. That is, in the scripture, white portrays a plague and its uncleanness. But even Christians sometimes tell little white lies. So they shouldn't be surprised that white has its opposite too. So I've always thought of white as pure, always have. You know, it's different maybe in a dream or a vision, but I always thought white, pure. White is mentioned in Genesis 4 times, and it's used negatively 1 out of 4. And I'm not going to read all of them, but the Bible doesn't mention white in the record of creation, but there certainly were a large number of white birds created on the 5th day. The Holy Spirit is usually depicted as a white dove. We know that. On the other hand, a white goose can mean pure stupidity. As the saying goes, he's like a goose. He wakes up in a new world every day, and yet still a white swan needs no explanation. Its natural beauty and gracefulness says it all. So we know that white stands for purity, but it can mean other things as well. So just keep that in mind when you are trying to interpret your dream or your vision, because I've always thought of white. Now, I used to see when God was calling me to pray, and I think I told you all before, sometimes before I could just feel his presence or feel him pulling on me to pray, he would send birds to the window to scratch on my window. And when I asked God to let me see the birds, they were white owls. And they weren't big owls. They were small. It was about 8 of them. And they were scratching at the window. I just wanted to see what was scratching at the window because I wanted to make sure it was God I was listening to. And it was some white owls. So, owls, a lot of people say that owls are not, well, all of them from God, but they was depicting like an owl was bad. But all owls is not like that. These were white owls, and I just figured God sent them, and I didn't think no more about it. So that was every time he wanted me to pray until I got real sensitive to the voice of God. Sometimes God will speak to us in so many different ways, especially when we're in the prophetic, especially when we've been called by God. Sometimes God can't get your attention, and he'll be trying to tell you something. You've been asking about your dream, and he's trying to tell you about your dream, and you're looking at TV, and sometimes he'll talk to you through the television. He'll use something that you're looking at that has your attention to get a word into you, but you have to always be sensitive to the Spirit of God. So what is he doing? We have to always be sensitive. Is there any concerns, any dreams or visions you want to share? Amen. Y'all mighty quiet tonight. I don't know what's going on. Okay, no more precious than gold. The only color actually found in the record of the original creation is gold. The river that watered the Garden of Eden had 4 branches. The name of the first is Pishon, meaning increase in Hebrew, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Genesis 2, verses 11 and 12. When the Bible says the goal of the land is good, it implies there's gold of other lands that's not so good. Gold means glory. When you dream of gold or you see gold in a vision, it means glory. From the beginning, God shows us that all glory is not good glory. Or as Jeremiah puts it, Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his own wisdom, never let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Why? Because God has decreed that no flesh should glory in his presence. Instead, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 and 31. The goal of God's original creation is not only good, but it's God. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. So we know the gold and the silver that God had on the hill was God. Even the hill was God. God doesn't really care for the natural gold. He doesn't need it. He made it for people. Just don't take it. It may be hazardous to your health. And if on a set day, Herod, this is in Acts chapter 12, verses 21 through 23, arrayed in royal apparel, set up on his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of God and not of man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. And that's why it's so important for us when we pray. When we pray, and I know I'm jumping around, but I have to say it when God give it to me. When we pray, we don't glorify God enough. We get in there, we, Lord, have mercy, and you know it. We have to get in there, and that's why you always hear me go into worship and in praise. Lord, I praise you, I glorify you, I worship you, Father. God wants his praise before you ask for anything. God wants his praise. I praise him 2 hours before I go into anything else. I praise God 2 straight hours. Then I try to pray in my prayer language 2 or 3 hours. Then I go, Lord, can you bless my family? Can you bless my children and my grandchildren? That's how I do it. That's how it should be done. I'm just telling you, I know the Holy Spirit leads us in prayer, but we can never forget to give God his glory first. We got to give God glory first. Give him the glory first and make it not, I mean, something. You don't pray like I pray. I get that. So if you pray in 15 minutes, you give God his praise and glory 10 minutes. Then you go how you can go. But you give him the most of the time, you give him the praise and glory. Because God wants your praise and your glory. He deserves all of the praise and all the glory. We know that. So it's been like this for many years. But I was asking God, because, you know, I always try to pray and please God. And I was saying, Lord, show me how to pray. Teach me how to pray like you want me to pray. And he did. Because I was not giving him praise enough. I was not praising God enough. I wasn't giving him the glory enough. I would praise and give him the glory about a half hour. Then I start going and praying in my prayer language. Then I start asking for stuff. And it take more time for me to do all of that than I was praising God. You have to give God some praise. You got to give God praise. For we do, we can ask God to forgive us and repent and stuff, but we better go into a praise God next. You know, a praise for the Lord next. Mm-hmm. We have to do that. Is there any question? Self-glorification is a snare, both for the fools who glorify themselves and for those who foolishly honor the fools. For if there should come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and you pay attention, this is James chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Instead, we're supposed to mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. And that's Romans chapter 12, verse 16. But be clothed with humility. Sometimes people, and it's just an example, sometimes people can come around you and they have this and they have that and they have this and they have that. And then you look at somebody else that don't have that. And you might think of this person more highly. You esteem this person more than you do this other person that don't have the gold ring. You know, times that can be good and sometimes not so good, because back here, the early part of the year, I went into a bank and the girl was a black lady in there. And she was looking at me. You know, they look at me funny because I don't, you know, I'm just not sit around and smile all the time. I just look at them like I'm supposed to, you know, and go on. And she was looking at me, and I was saying, okay, sweetheart, sweetie, honey, that's the way people know I'm not angry or mad, or because I'm looking like that. And so she looked at me. She was looking at my bank account. And then she looked at me. She looked at that Louis Vuitton. And then when she asked me for my ID, I pulled out my wallet. And she said, do you have a card? I didn't have a card, and I had to run out to the car to get the card. But it just shows you how people notice you. She had, I'd have been in there before, but she had not said anything. But it just changed people. It'll change a person, the way you look, the way you dress. And I wasn't dressed up or anything, but she was looking at other stuff. I know that. But and then, you know, you just can't look down on people. You can't look down. I mean, I be always telling people, especially my family, what's going on with me and what I have and stuff like that, because I be so thankful to God. And for sure, if he can do it for me, he can do it for my children and my grandchildren and my great-grand. So I try to show examples. And I try to show them God is real. This, he can do this. He did it for me. And this, this, and this. Y'all know what I have. Y'all know the things that I do. I don't be trying to brag. I don't work nowhere. I don't. And I don't be out here begging for money from people for the word of God. I just preach the word. If somebody want to give me an offering, they can, but I ain't going to ask you for none. Because why? I want my reward from the Lord. Because his reward is 100 billion times better than what man can give me. So I thank and praise God on tonight for teaching me to do the things that please him. All those things please God. And if I have said anything to make somebody feel like I'm all of this and I ain't, without God, I'm nothing. Without Jesus, I am nothing. I used to just say I ain't nothing, but I stopped that because I'm something. I'm somebody in God. I'm somebody in Jesus. But if I have, I repent right now and ask for your forgiveness. If I said anything that make a person feel like I'm more than them, I got more. Ain't. Let me tell you something. I've been homeless. I've been hungry. I've been outdoors. I've been everything. But I still trust God. I still trust him. I still trust him. They done wrote me off a few times, said I was going blind, told me I had a malignant neoplasm in my breast, all in 1 week. but I'm still holding on to God's hand. I'm still trusting God. I still trust him and believe him. God is a good God. Although the root word of gold is glory, there's a lot of other meanings too. One is wealth because of gold's great value and by extension, prosperity. When Moses brought Israel out of Egypt, they hadn't gone far before God called Moses up on the mountaintop to give him the Ten Commandments. And when Moses was gone, you know what Aaron did? He took all the Israelites' gold and earrings and all that stuff and made a golden calf to worship. He used their earrings to signify that he was telling them what they wanted to hear. When we have some Aaron today, because they'll take it and do wrong stuff with it. Because gold means wealth. He made them a golden calf because calf signifies prosperity, cattle. Cattle was their livelihood. And when the herd increased, they had a bull market. And when bears ate the cattle, they lost their wealth. And the first bear market was born. Things haven't changed much in the church or in the market. Another meaning of gold is rare because God didn't create much of it. That's why it's so valuable. And one of the simplest and most often used extensions is wisdom. We sometimes act like he didn't create much of that either. In fact, when people are professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Yeah, because people think they know all of this and all of that and don't know the God's foolishness. I mean, his foolishness will mess us up. We don't know nothing. Our minds is not good enough, or we're not wise enough to know what God knows. Our minds are so messed little compared to God. So the foolishness of God will confuse and confound us. You see, so don't think you wise, so wise that nobody can tell you anything. Because I listen to a baby. I listen to anybody that's teaching me what the Lord tell them to. You know, you can't be so high-minded and so high above that you're no earthly good and you down here on earth. You got to stay humble before the Lord so he can use you. I don't care what you done did, how you done did it, this and that. God can use broken vessels. He'll take an alcoholic, like I told you, a person that drinks alcohol or do drugs off the corner and clean him up and put his word in their mouth. And God been to call them, he'll be preaching and you'll be like, I ain't listening to him. He was on the corner a month ago. But you don't know how God been working his life. And that's what we got to get around. We got to get from that. We can't do that. I trust God. I trust God in what he does and what he says. And I don't, and like I told y'all last week, we got to stop putting people down, especially next until about the third week in November. We got to stop talking about people. We got to stop talking about the leaders of the church. If you can't say nothing good about them, don't say nothing at all. Just, I tell you this, just say prayer because there's going to be another shift here in the next 2 weeks. It's going to be a shift, and you're going to feel it. Is there any questions or comments before we get ready to go off? So, and I'm going to tell y'all this, if y'all don't start talking back to me, I'm going to stop coming on here. I'm telling y'all that. Because I'm not supposed
Amen.
To talk the whole time.
Amen. Amen. Powerful words.
Okay.
Powerful.
Thank you.
I don't know what Thanks. I'll do if this word was not in my life on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. So I will speak up. It was an awesome word. I just have my grandkids in the background, but powerful word.
Okay.
Powerful
well,
analogy of dreams.
Oh, well, thank you. God bless your heart. God bless you.
Amen.
Just saying, it encourages me when you say something back to me because I be praying and trying to explain the best I can. If you all don't say anything, I don't know if you understand or not. Usually, y'all, somebody say something, but I haven't been hearing them for the last, not Sunday nor today. So I just want to make sure you understand, you know, because God is holding me accountable for that. So God bless you all tonight. I just thank and praise God for another opportunity. We'll be right back here Thursday. We're going to have our praise, prayer, and prophecy hour. I may do a little teaching. And if you have any dreams that need interpreting, I'm working on one for Ray. I'm working on hers, but in Apostle Dean's, I'm working on his. And but if you have any visions or dreams that you want interpreted, please let me know. I can be of help. I just go into prayer and then I let God interpret the dream for us or vision for us so we can that you can get a better understanding to do this. So if no, nothing else, we're going to get ready to go. God bless you all. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing up, God. We just give you praise on tonight, and we give you glory tonight. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless their families on tonight. Bless them, God. Keep them all covered in the blood of Jesus. And encamp your angels all around about each one of them to protect them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, protect everyone that's driving in their cars and on buses and trains and planes. Protect them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to lead and guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for blessing your word even the more. Opening up our minds that we can understand, Lord. We thank you for that. We don't take it for granted what you do for us, God. In the name of Jesus, now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you all. I love you. And God love you too. We'll be right back here on Thursday for Praise, Prayer, and Prophecy Hour. God bless you. You all have a good night. Amen.
Good night.
Amen.
Love you.
Good night.